Why don't we all rise for a word of prayer? Lord, Heavenly Father, we come to you rejoicing that your word is so rich and powerful to us. Again today, that we can hear it, that we can be encouraged, that we can be inspired to move closer and draw closer to you. Lord, may that continue as you continue to encourage us and as you continue to draw our hearts to yourself, that the burden of you and the sharing of Brother Uriah about your life and how you gave everything and how little we often recognize and understand what your will is for us. Father, help us to maybe in a little better way understand what you want in our life. Lord, we ask that you would be here with the rest of the day. We ask that you would encourage every heart. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Brother Joshua asked for testimony. And I think I will share a little testimony of God's care and love to us last night. We were looking for someone to watch our children for a couple hours, and my wife called her sister. She didn't pick up, so she called her brother's wife, and they could watch them. Come to find out this morning, the storm that we had last night with taking our children to her brother's place, we went 83 rather than going 60 and through Blissfield. This morning when we came down before Blissfield, it looked like there was a little tornado or something went through their branches and trees down over the road. And I told my wife, is that why she didn't pick up yesterday? I think God was watching out for us. Because on the way home from here is when most of the storm was going through here. So it's just God cares. In a lot of ways, we don't even see what God is actually doing and what God protects us from. So let's trust our faithful Father. And with that, I'm privileged to be here and see all the familiar faces and some not so familiar. Thank you all for coming. Family for supporting Brother John and Barbara Ann, and thank you for coming. I was pondering how many words, especially since Bethlehem, and if we look back over all of our lives, how God's word is faithful, and how many words of God that we have heard already in the past. It keeps coming and coming and coming. But it doesn't do anything for us if we're not seeking, if we're not looking for God to change us. It won't do anything. But it brought a thankfulness to my heart that there are brothers that love to labor in the word and love to share the word so that we can be encouraged, so that we can be challenged to move closer to God. So thank you all, brothers and sisters, for doing that in our life and for continuing. And the more I seek God through his word, the more I understand little, like Uriah said. But the heart of surrendering our will to God's will, it just keeps coming and reminding me that the more we understand what God wants to do in our life and wants us to change and do things for him, the more unworthy we might feel. And how we sang that song that Simon chose. Thank you for sharing that. How much do we love? Matthew 5, verse 48 says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father is perfect." As your Father which is in heaven is perfect. So the call and the desire for God is that we be perfect. And I think if I would go along here and ask every one of you, you would all say that I'm not perfect. I see areas in my life where I need to grow yet. I see where I need to do better. But God's heart is that we draw closer to Him and are open to become more like Him. And if we think about becoming more like Him, and we think back, especially since we are converted, the many times that we face trials or resist the temptation or struggles we had, if we would not have had any of those in our life, no struggles, no temptations, no trials, I don't think any of us would be where we are today. So we see that God uses those things to remind us to look at our own life. And it's God's heart that we grow. And that our mind and our life is more yielded, more willing to give, more willing to sacrifice my way for God's way. As we see in Romans 6, that our members are yielded as instruments of righteousness. And in Romans 8, verse 1, where it says that we should present our bodies as a living sacrifice. So we're thinking about continuing to look at our own life and I find in my life, God is not done yet. God wants to continue to show me areas where I need to grow. And I think if I would come up here this morning and say, brothers, sisters, I think I am where God wants me to be. I think you would all be concerned for my life. But are we showing that in any way to our families, to our children? Seeing the will of God, then doing it. It's my burden, and part of the burden is because of seeking in my own heart and life with going for my job, meeting new people every day. How do we share with them, and how are we the light and the salt? And what is coming out of my life, because people feel, people see, and people observe us, we can't get away from that. People will observe us. We can have a bad day or say we're having a bad day, but they will observe if there's light or if there's not. And in that, people will see what spirit we are of, what spirit is coming out of our life. Do they feel that love that we were singing about? Do our families feel that love? And in this, without being aware and seeing and seeking to see God's will, we will be showing other people that we have arrived. If we're not willing to observe our own life and see where we can change so that we can love more, so that we can share God better. But it often comes down to seeing the need in my own life so that we can be perfect. And that we can claim the verses where Jesus said after the Beatitudes of blessed are you when we do this, blessed are you when you do that. After the blessed are you when men revile you, speak evil of you falsely for my name's sake. Then after that, verse 13 of Matthew 5 says, Jesus was telling them, ye are the light of the world. Ye are the salt of the earth first. And then in verse 14 he says, ye are the light of the world. And I just had to ponder, can we claim that for ourselves, every one of us personally? Sil is the salt of the earth. And you put your name there. Are we the salt of the earth? Are we the light of the world? Are we claiming God's promises? And then sharing that with the world, the people that we meet every day. So our wives could think that, well, I don't meet a lot of people throughout the day. What about your children? Many, many opportunities that God brings if we're attentive, if we're seeking the will of God. And in studying this, I couldn't bypass with thinking about seeing, watching, the thought of how beautiful it is to have eyes and what God, what His Word says about our eyes, that we may see. He talks about it in a natural sense. He talks about it in a spiritual sense, that they couldn't see. Their eyes were blinded. Their eyes, Paul's eyes, when he was converted, scales fell off his eyes after he was blinded and then could see again. And he could understand what God... So he faced physical blindness so that he could see the spiritual blindness that he had. And I think if all of us would go through that, I think there would be a seriousness about how beautiful it is that God gave us eyes that we could see. So my heart is that we have spiritual eyes today to see our need of our own life and be willing to change when we're observing those needs. Matthew 9, I'm going to read a couple verses, thinking about our eyes. Matthew 9, verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said unto them, he asked them a question, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. I don't understand why he said that. because of his burden to share what God is doing in our life. But he's also jealous that we're not boasting in our own works or what we do, but that we share what he has done. But if we look at the question that he gave them, believe ye that I am able to do this? And then according to your faith, be it unto you. I think those are two important things. Do we believe that God can show us and that God can help us change things as we see them? And do we have faith that he will do it? Mark 8, verse 14. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread when they went over the sea. Neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, take heed. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, they were thinking in a natural sense, and Jesus was trying to explain to them in a spiritual sense. Because we have no bread, he is asking this. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have your heart yet hardened? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, see ye not. Because of the hardening of our heart is why we can't see. And having ears, hear ye not, and do ye not remember when I break the five loaves. So that was actually a physical miracle that he had showed them, but now they were not trusting in what God really can do. When I break the five loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They say unto him, 12. So he had to bring that account to them to realize. And I think it's good for us to sometimes look back when we're discouraged or facing a trial. Or is God actually faithful? Because we see over and over, if we look back over our life, how God is faithful. So if something looks like a mountain, I think God loves to have us rely on him and give it to him because he is concerned that our hearts don't become hard and he wants us to continue growing. In a natural sense, I was had the privilege of the other day, took the day off and went with my wife to Columbus doing some shopping, garage sailing, and all of a sudden it hit me that I'm driving, I go down there all the time, but I'm driving slower, and it felt way different than it normally does. Normally we put the address in and I realize that I'm driving slower and I'm more attentive to what my surroundings are. Because if you put an address in and just head to the place, you're really not observing what's beside the road. But if you're garage sailing and you're looking for signs, oh, here's one. I had to observe my own life. Is that how I go through life, without looking around, without observing the needs around me, and especially without observing what God wants in my life? Selfishness. And I think God uses these natural things to bring to our attention what he wants to do in the spiritual sense in our life. And also as we go about our work, seeing things. Someone mentioned this morning about little things matter. Amen to that. But I also thought, all things matter. If every one of you, brothers and sisters, thinks about your labor, your physical labor that you do every day, we can easily be trained to be sensitive to whatever work we're called to do, whatever people tell us to now be very careful. Here is something that can easily get missed. And we learn to be attentive. We learn to be watchful. We learn to do it right. But I think in the physical sense, God desires us to have that yearning to do things right, to be watchful, that we're not deceived. And in the natural sense, if we just think about some of the incidents that we face in our own life, if I see that cabinets are off level or not quite the way they should be, but I just look over it, I see it, but I don't do anything about it. Do you think those cabinets will be level? No, it doesn't change. If Brother John or Uriah is building a building and they see that the posts aren't in straight, but they keep on going, it will affect the whole building. The looks of it, it will affect the structure of it. It might not be that bad, but it's not quite right. So they can, often those little things can be changed by just doing it right. If we see things that are not quite right, we change it so that it's right. Brother Elson could think that his chickens are getting pretty warm, but they'll be okay and not worry about it and lose a lot of them. In one state, it might be just a little thing, but if we're not attentive, it grows and becomes big. And I think all of you brothers can think of things in your own workplaces and your own life, how those things can change in big ways just in the physical sense. But then if we think about our spiritual life, how God can wants to show us areas in our life, and he wants us to be looking for things, how I can change. I had something facing me in that way this week, and someone pointed out when we were talking about it that it wasn't what I said was not wrong, but the way I said it. The way we say things, as David shared, the power of words, the way we say it, the way it comes out, people will hear and feel a spirit. Is it God's spirit of love? As we as dads care for our children, as you moms go through daily life caring for every need that arises, it becomes more and more important to me that God really cares about little things in my life. And a lot of those little things, if we're open to change, a lot of those little things come up in our personal homes. And if we're willing to change, a lot of things can change so that it doesn't grow into a big thing that all of a sudden we feel like, why did this thing grow that big? Because we weren't willing to change in little ways. So as much as it is important in our physical work to give attention to detail, so much more it is important to give attention to the details in our life. The vision statement gives, in the one of them, it says, to be a group of separated from the world, talking about how the body of Christ should be. The lust of the eye. The eye is doing wrong things. The lust of the flesh. The pride of life, which will manifest themselves. It will make itself known and be evident by the values we live. Then it mentions time, finances, food, vehicles, homes, clothing, and hobbies. And you can continue to add to that list. But if we're giving attention to detail, we will be thinking about our lives. We will be thinking about how we spend our time in little ways. Little opportunities that arise that moms can have a blessed time with their children, read stories. But if we're not watching for those little things, we will miss them. Us as dads coming home from work, if we work away from home, am I coming home thinking about what I want to do, or am I thinking how I can care for my family? Food, vehicles, homes, clothing, hobbies. How much of these, what are people seeing when they see us eating, when they see us driving, what vehicles we're driving, what homes we live in, what clothing we wear, little things, what hobbies we enjoy. Is it God's heart? Is it God's will in all of those? And I think if we're uncomfortable in any of those areas, that's okay. Let's be willing to change. And God wants to bless us. God wants to encourage us that if he shows us through brothers and sisters any of those areas that we're willing to do it, we're willing to yield. Because God's will, songs that we sang this morning really spoke, God's heart is that he wants us all in heaven. He wants us all to grow and take us home. That eternity that we're enjoying here will go on and on. But without our eyes looking, without our heart seeking our own life, we will miss it. And we could ask, well, I'm converted, so that will take care of it, right? Now I'll ask another question. Did any of you ever have to repent after you were converted? I did. And I think it's a continual thing. We're not God, but he asks us to be perfect. And I think the more we can clear up our life, if we see that we made a mistake, if we see that we did not do it right, let's be willing to change. And if we are attentive to what God is calling us to do, and we're willing to show God and show others that we're willing to grow, we're willing to change, then our attitudes will change. It will change how harsh or how gentle we are. It will change how sober we think. Let's turn to Acts, verse 28. No, sorry, Acts 28, verse 27. Actually, I'll start in verse 26. Verse 25. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word, well spake the Holy Ghost by Esaias the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For it gives a reason why they did not see, and why they didn't hear. For the heart of this people is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed. So it's talking about their spiritual eyes have they closed. So it was a choice that every one of them made. They chose to close their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And we can claim that promise. God was faithful to bring his word to us, his salvation plan. And he is willing that we continue to grow in that. It's a verse in Proverbs 15, verse 29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. Then verse 30, it says, the light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and a good report maketh the bones fat. So I think the more we observe and are attentive to the people that are around us, because that's God's heart, is that we're ministering and that we're servants of him. So are we seeing the needs that are around us? Do we see when people are heavy? And do we care? Do we see when someone needs someone to listen? Do we as parents see opportunities to nurture and train our children? Or do we have it figured out? And we could add to that list. Do we see? Are we observing? When we see people at the filling stations, when we see people on the work, on the job that we're at, are we observing? Because we are observing, but are we looking for opportunities to speak truth and to care for them so that they feel the love of God? So that they know that Jesus is with us. In closing, are we watching? Are we attentive? What spirit is coming out of us? And I'd like to read a verse of song that we sang this morning. 598, in the second verse. Oh, I delight in his command. Love to be led by his dear hand. His divine will is sweet to me, hallowed by blood-stained Calvary. Jesus shall lead me night and day. Jesus shall lead me all the way. He is the truest friend to me, for I remember Calvary. Lord bless you.